If you were a prisoner of war in the Second World War and held captive by the Japanese, conditions were beyond cruel. This week, four diggers are returning to a place called Hellfire Pass on the Burma Railway to commemorate Anzac Day 70 years on. 2,800 Australians were starved to death on the railway, forced to work 18 hours a day in conditions where disease was rife and little sympathy spared from the Japanese. At Hellfire Pass, there's a cemetery where 1,362 Australians are buried. One of those attending this commemoration is a fellow by the name of Bart Richardson. He enlisted in Rutherford and served with the 220th Australian Infantry Battalion in Malaya and Singapore. He was taken prisoner on the 15th of February 1942. He became part of H Force and assigned to the Burma Railway. He remained there until December 1943, where he was transferred to Singapore when he was taken to Changi Jail, where he remained until the end of the war. This week, he returns. Bart Richardson joins me in the studio right now. Bart, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
I'm happy to come and talk about the trip.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, before we go, and I know a lot of our listeners will want me to convey this to you anyway, thank you so much for your service to the country.
Thank you.
And you should be very proud.
I think it's an honour to serve the country. We went to war, I think, probably not thinking about honouring our country by doing so. I think it was more the spirit of adventure. We're all young fellows, and I think that was something different. And we lived through the Depression years, but people were joining the militia so they could get a pair of boots to wear to work.
Right.
That was the Depression.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Well, that was what was happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you been back there at all?
Yes, I have.
Right.
I've been back to Singapore several times. I've been back to Thailand several times, to the Kon Yew Cutting, which now is called Hellfire Pass, but I can assure you that when we were making it, it was called more than Hellfire Pass. It wasn't called the Kon Yew Cutting. I can't tell you. This is a polite family
program.
They were called some nasty names.
Despite having been back before, you must have mixed emotions about heading back for the commemoration.
Yes, Chris, I have. Every time I go back, there's a little flat rock about halfway along, and I sit on that when everybody else is gone, and I just contemplate. To me, that cutting is my Gallipoli. Now, that might sound strange to some people, but our battalion lost heavily in all phases, in the action on Singapore Island and in the various places where they worked, Borneo, Burma, Thailand, Japan, and, of course, on the way to Japan.
Mm.
We lost very heavily, so I just feel the cutting is my Gallipoli, and I sit there and contemplate, and it's good.
How did Bart Richardson survive when others didn't?
I think with good luck and the fact that we all helped each other. If somebody was feeling down and trying to drop the bundle, we'd boost him and get him back up again and pull together with each other as a large team, and we all came back again.
We talk about the Japanese being cruel, but only you would know how cruel they were.
Lots of books have been written about the Japanese and what they did and their punishments and so on. A lot of things that happened have never been written, will never be written, will never be told. We don't want to tell them, and you don't want to know what they are anyway.
The harshest physical torture, no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. Working on the Burma Railway, what did you realise that was your destination?
To live.
Right.
And that's exactly what
day by day, hour by hour.
Day by day, we went through a cholera plague, and cholera is a nasty thing. It drains all the fluid from the body,
right.
And a man can be dead overnight as a skeleton. On the other hand, we suffered from beriberi, where the fluid can't get away from the body, and the fingers are like big fat sausages and the legs are like elephant legs, and worse. And of course, the fluid builds up around the heart and eventually the patient dies. And we had all sorts of skin diseases and tropical ulcers. A scratch would become septic and spread, and you could see it growing, and there was no cure for it. And many a man lost his leg because of a tropical ulcer.
How old are you, can I ask that?
93.
You're 93 years of age. You look as fit as a fiddle.
I said I was lucky.
And then to Singapore. Tell us about that.
Well, I was in hospital at the time recovering from dengue fever. And the Japanese had captured the two reservoirs on Singapore Island and turned off the water. And there was no water at all in Singapore City. There was no water to wash, the taps were dry, no water for toilets or anything. And the surrender just had to take place, but it should never have reached that stage.
How do you mean?
Winston Churchill has to take some blame. They used to talk about Singapore being an impregnable fortress. It never was. Now, when we got back onto Singapore Island, there was not one strand of barbed wire erected or any sort of fortification. And our battalion covered an area which should have been covered at least by a division. You can't fight an enemy in greater numbers under conditions like
that. Isn't it interesting, Bart, and you're no doubt a great studier of various theatres of war, how many mistakes do you make as governments at the detriment of the soldiers who are in the battlefield?
You know, it's interesting this way, Chris. Somewhere about 1936, there was a staff school, a British officer's staff school in Quetta in India. And one of the exercises set was the capture of Singapore. All but one of the class came from the sea to capture Singapore. One bright lad came from the Malay Peninsula and worked his way down and captured Singapore that way. And the directing staff said it was crazy, it could never possibly happen. The Japanese did it.
The trip, it's obviously a long one. You've been there before. Would you be sitting on that ledge again sometime in the next few days?
Oh, yes, I will. Probably Wednesday.
And you'll be looking forward to catching up with a few mates, no doubt, too. Thank you very much once again for your service to the country, and thank you for sharing some of those thoughts with us this afternoon.
Chris, I've got plenty of stories to tell, but there's not the time this time.
Thank you very much. Bart Richardson.
And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the ship pulled away from the quay. And amidst all the cheers, the flag waving and tears, we sailed off for Gallipoli.